This is the HAT Soil Health Podcast, a production of Hoosier Ag Today and the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative, a program of the Indiana Conservation Partnership. In each episode, we spotlight the numerous efforts around the state by CCSI and its many partners to improve soil health on Indiana cropland. In this episode, we put the spotlight on crop insurance and how it can fit in your farm's risk management strategy. Here's your host, Elise Koning.
Hello, and welcome to the HAT Soil Health Podcast. Today, we're featuring a conversation on crop insurance and taking a look at how crop insurance can help with soil health practices and implementing those soil health systems. To speak with us on this topic, we have Brian Frieden. He's the director of the Springfield Regional Office of the USDA's Risk Management Agency. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
We also have Lisa Holscher. She's the director of the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative, or CCSI. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa.
Thanks, Elise.
So first off, Brian, I'd like to hear a bit more about your role as director, as well as what the Risk Management Agency does. Can you share a little bit about what you're working on right now?
Yeah, the Risk Management Agency manages the crop insurance program that is sold and serviced by private insurance companies. So our regional office ensures that the National Crop Insurance Program works for farmers at the local level. And as agriculture changes, we hope that we can keep that product viable so that producers have that moving forward to protect their inputs and protect their farming operation. In Indiana, we insure 20 crops, along with providing coverage for livestock. And if you look back, we don't have the 24 numbers, but in 2023, we had coverage on 9.7 million acres of cropland in Indiana. And $7.5 billion worth of coverage.
That's about three quarters of the cropland acres. That's pretty impressive. Actually, over three quarters.
Yep.
So, Lisa, I'd also like to hear what kind of projects has CCSI been involved in recently, and what interested you in coming on the podcast and talking about crop insurance?
Well, Brian graciously came over to Indiana, Southwest Indiana, the Regional Ag Forum last month to give a presentation on crop insurance and just thinking about some of the myths I have heard from farmers where, oh, that won't be covered by crop insurance or whatever. I thought it would be really good to just get the facts on what is covered, what is not, especially for the farmers we get to work with that are in soil health systems, you know, no-till and especially cover crops.
So yeah, let's start out with that conversation. What are we covering with crop insurance when it comes to a soil health system? And what do farmers need to think about covering when they're starting out implementing those practices? I'll throw that out to both of you.
No, I'll
Brian's
start.
The expert.
I'll go ahead and start on cover crops. You know, they're an important conservation tool and they're to protect the farm from erosion. We understand that. We want to make sure that, you know, the crop insurance program doesn't provide an impediment to farmers that want to do conservation on their farm. Mentioned this when we met in southern Indiana that, you know, this spring around Springfield, Illinois, we had two interstates closed. Or we had the interstate closed on both sides of Springfield on two occasions this spring because of soil and dust storms. And you think about how inconvenient that is for the folks that are driving, but it's even more of an issue when you're talking about the soil that moved from one farm to another. And when you're talking about trying to protect that for the next crop and also for the next generation. So, you know, I saw that right before I went to Indiana and thought about it. And, you know, we want to make sure that we have rules and regulations that work for farmers.
Yeah, the dust storms have been tragic across the country. Last year, weren't there some deaths in Illinois too?
Yeah, it's a serious issue. And if there's things out there that can help farmers prevent that from happening, obviously that'd be...
Yeah, even not tilling in the fall not tilling, not disturbing the soil, at least until spring, but certainly cover crops would make a big difference there too.
Yeah, definitely. So when we're looking at the types of crop insurance, how would farmers get started in getting the insurance that they need for those soil health practices?
So I think obviously we don't insure cover crops, but the concern usually revolves around what happens, how is that crop that follows cover crop insured, and when is that crop terminated? So we actually worked with NRCS, FSA, to put together some cover crop termination guidelines that work across all agencies that provide some consistency or simple and flexible. And then we also have some good farming practice options available that provide a little bit more flexibility than what's in the cover crop termination guidelines. But for farmers in Indiana, as long as they terminate the cover crop before the crop emergence, that meets the termination guidelines that NRCS put together. If need more flexibility than that, there are good farming practice, which what that means is that if either published data from an ag expert or whether extension, someone from the ag department, there's published material, American Society of Agronomy, a certified crop advisor, as long as it's not one that you're paying, provides something in writing that this is a good farming practice, then you're fine there too. So there is a number of different options that we have available to make sure that even if you don't meet the termination guidelines that NRCS put out, that there's flexibility if the year turns different or if you have a practice that works for you. Also, an employee certified by NRCS to make those determinations is also an ag expert for good farming practices.
And I'm looking at the Good Farming Practices Handbook for 2023 and succeeding years. I downloaded that after our last conversation. So it's a great resource, especially for a lot of farmers I get to work with who, you know, they aren't necessarily, well, a lot of them just aren't terminating by that same date or that NRCS provides or even seeding rates that NRCS or the Midwest Cover Crops Council provides. So where would folks go to get this? I would have a hard time finding it again.
Right. So if you go to the RMA website, which is rma.usda.gov, and then there is a documents and handbooks, that policy and procedure, you'll find it under there. And then you can type in what you're looking for, or you can do the search and find it. So there's a lot of good information and good farming practice. Could become an issue if you have a claim and the company would decide that you didn't follow good farming practice. So having that documentation on hand, if you decide to do something different or than what would be considered maybe normal, is important to have, just to have it on hand. So you never know. I mean, agriculture changes, agronomics change. Weather sometimes dictate those. So having, reaching out, having that just in case there's an issue is good. And then the Good Farming Practice Handbook also provides a process for you to request a reconsideration that comes through RMA. So if a producer decides they doesn't agree with what a company does, they can come back and request a reconsideration that comes through RMA.
So let's take a look at that handbook. Lisa, what are some of the good farming practices that are in the handbook?
Well, the good farming practices that are in the handbook, I don't know that it actually defines the good farming practices, but how, if a farmer is, again, not following, say, prescribed seeding rates as determined by NRCS practice standards or the Midwest Cover Crops Council, there are guidelines there on how a farmer can document that it is a good farming practice. And Brian, that includes keeping really good records, correct?
Right. For conservation purposes, where we run into sometimes there's questions is on the termination side, because we don't insure the cover crops, but we do insure that crop that follows. So it could impact the termination. The purpose of the good farming practice provisions is to just ensure that the policyholder's production methods don't adversely affect the quality and the quantity of the production of the crop that we are insuring. So I think that's the important part. And so that's why, you know, in operations that maybe you're doing a practice that's good for your area, but maybe may not be necessarily recognized universally, having something from an ag expert that says, hey, this works for this area is important to have.
So again, and I'm looking at the list of ag experts, that can include folks who work for Purdue Extension, work for an ag department of the universities. Does that include like Kentucky University for the folks who are way down south, or Michigan University for the folks who are way up north?
Yep. I think as long as it's pertinent to the area, that's the agronomics and the geographic area that you're farming in, you know, sometimes maybe something out of Kentucky, if you're in the southern part of the state, might fit better. So yes, that would work.
Okay. And then a CCA who doesn't have a family or business connection to the operation.
Right. Right.
And an employee certified by NRCS. Any employee?
Certified to make determinations regarding good cover cropping practices. So
that's a determination within NRCS itself.
Right.
Correct. Okay.
So, and then written material. So if there are articles that say that this practice that the extension puts out, those all, you know, you may not have to reach out if there is documentation or material out there on their practice.
Cool. That opens up a lot of opportunities for the farmers we get to work with.
Definitely. And one direction I wanted to go in is when you're looking to take out that crop insurance for your soil health system, there can be a lot of different factors to look at. What are some specific factors to include in your crop insurance that you want to make sure you get in there when you have a soil health system?
So I think producers need to look at a number of things when they're going to insure their crops. And in Indiana, we insure 20 crops. There may be, as crops and agronomics change in the financial side, you may have producers plant a crop that maybe isn't normally planted in the area. So there are options available for those crops too. But in general, what we would say is producers need to look at their risk, need to look at their farming operation, talk to an agent. The important thing on crop insurance, it doesn't matter where you buy your crop insurance, which agent you buy from. RMA actually sets the premium rates. So what companies compete on and agents compete on is service, sales and service. So how they provide you the service that you need as a farmer. So it's a little bit different than when you go out to buy your home insurance or your car insurance.
So let's say a farmer is growing a crop that's not among the 20 listed for Indiana, but wants to try something else. Okay. Again, a crop that's not listed among the 20 for Indiana. What are some of those rules that they have to follow to get crop insurance?
As long as that crop is insurable, period, somewhere in the country, and it's adaptable to the area, a producer could request coverage through their agent. Those requests are submitted to us to underwrite. So it also covers practices that maybe aren't necessarily covered in a specific area. So if you double crop soybeans after wheat, and Most of those counties that we offer that coverage is are in southern Indiana. If you're in northern Indiana and you've got a system or you want to relay crop, those options, you can request coverage through your company, and those will come to us and we can underwrite those. So we would reference those to an area where we have coverage and provide something similar as far as rates and TILs.
So you and I talked about a grower who was double cropping another commodity crop besides soybeans and wheat. If it's not covered anywhere in the U.S., it is currently not eligible for crop insurance, right? That's what I took away from that conversation. Yeah.
Right. So there is a product called Whole Farm that covers all crops grown under a policy. And if there isn't a crop list, if that crop's not listed, we can add those crops. But that policy covers your whole farm, every crop, and can pick up those crops. There are some, like if you have a revenue product for corn and soybeans, those may not be included in that whole farm. But there is a policy available for those types of crops.
You're listening to the Hat Soil Health Podcast, brought to you by the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative, with Brian Frieden, Director of the Springfield Regional Office of the USDA's Risk Management Agency, and Lisa Holscher, Director of CCSI. So one thing we started our conversation with, we were talking about some of those major challenges that Illinois faced with the dust storms, shutting down interstates. Before our conversation started recording, we talked a little bit about 2019 and the challenges that were there as well. Can both of you speak to some of the challenges that you've seen farmers face that crop insurance can help with?
2019 was horrific. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was an incredibly wet year. If I say there's anything good that came out of it, I know several farmers across the state whose cereal rye got away from them. And we know that if cereal rye gets to a certain point, it's going to grow really fast. And so they didn't have an option when they had a window to plant, but to plant green. Brian was wonderful to work with in that time period, because we were looking for resources and just the facts kind of resources to share with our farmers, because it was ugly. Is that fair to say, Brian?
Yes, it was. I mean, 2019 was a year where, you know, I went to some meetings with farmers the end of May, and typically you'd never be able to find a farmer and they'd all be in the field. We'd have hundreds of farmers at these meetings. So the only reason you'd come to a meeting at the end of May is if there's something wrong. And 2019 was a wet year that was a challenge for all farmers. And so what we tried to do is make sure, and the agency was flexible on trying to make sure we had some options for farmers that were all trying to do the right thing, but maybe were prevented from doing that. So cover crops and how we termination and tried to be flexible. Also in 19, you saw a lot of farmers that maybe didn't typically plant cover crops, but weren't able to get their crop planted, then wanted to make sure they had cover out there during the summer and going in. So I think that was a good way for farmers to try to provide some protection on the soil. Also Trish tried to make it through 2019 and move towards 2020 and hope for a better day.
Yeah, 2020, that was a great year too, but for other reasons.
Right. So we've had these challenges that we've seen over the last few years. Let's talk a little bit about the soil health side of it. Lisa, will you speak to how using soil health practices could help your crops succeed?
Well, let's face it, we are in an era of extreme weather events. I was really tickled earlier this week when we got a good soaking rain. those are so few and far between these days that I celebrate every time it happens. We get toad stranglers. And that good soaking rain came off of what I believe the U.S. Climate Service, I'm going to butcher that name, they designated our area as a D1 drought. You know, you just have all of these extremes. And even what I see is a difference in around my house of those farmers who are no-tilling and using cover crops. I'm seeing a significant difference in how well the rainfall and other precipitation actually moves into the soil instead of running off and maybe causing, well, we do know it causes a lot of erosion. That alone makes a big, big difference in helping your crop succeed. And I would say protecting your farmland. Brian already talked about the dust storms that we've seen. And it's not just Illinois. Shoot, I've seen really dusty times down here in Southwest Indiana. It's tragic, but we do have things, cover crops, reduced tillage, that can help farmers overcome those extremes.
Yeah, I'm right there with you with celebrating the rain and hoping that we get more of it as well. But even if we don't, those soil health systems will really help us out. Brian, can you speak to what farmers can do if they want to work with the risk management agency on crop insurance?
Well, I think the first thing producers need to do is if they don't have crop insurance, they need to reach out to an agent, and there's an agent locator on our website to help them do that. If they have crop insurance, then every year they need to follow up with their crop insurance agent to make sure that they talk about what's changed in their operation, if there's anything that they need to look at, the change they have maybe in risk, to make sure that there are changes to the crop insurance policy every year. Hopefully we try to make it better as time moves along. So, you know, as far as options, what's available, the cost, what the coverage is, prices change, and we know prices have been somewhat down this year. So looking at that is important thing producers need to look at when they're updating their crop insurance or buying crop insurance.
And Lisa, what advice would you have for somebody who wants to get into a soil health system and wants to know where to start?
Well, number one, you can reach out to your local soil and water conservation district, Extension, NRCS. Number two, and what I would say is the most critical, is find a farmer who's already doing it. Talk to them. Go to meetings and learn. There are a lot of opportunities out there. Elise, you were with us last month when a group of farmers launched a mentoring program, farmadvisors.ag. They will get things rolling here. I expect starting that first cohort late this fall, early next winter, of mentees to be paired with that initial group of mentors so that we can help those farmers be successful as they're working on adopting a practice, whatever it is, or if they are in one of the alphabet soup of climate smart commodities programs or NRCS programs or Clean Water Indiana, so that they can be successful at that adoption. And it can really add to their farm and protect their farm from extreme weather, insulate it from extreme harvests and other detrimental issues.
Yeah, you mentioned the farmadvisors.ag. And if you'd like to learn more about that program, you can go to the August 2024 episode of the Hat Soil Health Podcast and check out more from the founders and some of the mentors of that project. As we start to wrap up this episode of the Hat Soil Health Podcast, brought to you by the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative, I'd like to ask you both for your final thoughts. And I'd like to start with Brian Frieden. He's with USDA's Risk Management Agency. Brian, what final thoughts would you like to share today?
I'd just like to remind farmers that, you know, crop insurance program is changing all the time. We're trying to make it better. We've tried to be more flexible as far as how we work with cover crops. So if you have questions, make sure and reach out. Reach out to your agent. Talk about your operation. Make sure that you're in the best position to protect yourself and your farm.
We also have Lisa Holscher. She's the director of CCSI. Lisa, what are your final thoughts for today?
I already gave you some of them. Number one, reach out to farmers who are already doing that. But I'd also suggest that if you're interested in some of these practices, you can also hit our website, ccsin.org. Sign up for our newsletter, because that way you can be informed of not only local events — they are certainly not all CCSI events — but also virtual events and other learning opportunities, so you can set yourself up for success. If you've got questions about crop insurance, we have good resources. Well, that farmers have good resources available to them, as Brian said, through the crop insurance agent and also RMA.
Lisa, thanks so much for sharing your insight today. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, Elise.
Brian, thanks for joining us as well.
All right. Thank you.
This has been the Hat Soil Health Podcast. I'm your host, Elise Koning.
This episode of the Hat Soil Health Podcast has been brought to you by the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative. You can learn more about their efforts and see a schedule of events at ccsin.org. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, create your riches below the surface with healthy soil. This has been a production of Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.